The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
New show on history, and it's called Nightfall with a K. Night. K-Nightfall. The premiere is Wednesday, December 6, 10 Eastern. Let me tell you something. Medieval France tangled in politics and conflict, but there's one headstrong and courageous Templar knight, Landry. He will lead his order of warrior monks on a life or death mission to find the lost Holy Grail. Control the Grail, control the world. Ain't that the truth? You control the Grail, you control the world. The show is called Nightfall. It's a great drama. It's new on history. My friends, you're going to want to see that. It's only 10 episodes in season one. Don't miss any of them. History's new drama, Nightfall.
Hello, friends. This is Corey Fry. Stay tuned for more stories with Christopher Titus. But first, a few words from our friend Victoria Shade and Pet MD.
More Stories podcast. Victoria Shade is with me. S-C-H-A-D-E. She's the original dog whisperer. How did you lose your title? Because you didn't do anything to lose it. You weren't, like, knocked out. The scorecards weren't revealed. How did you not stay the dog whisperer?
You know, I actually wasn't the original dog whisperer. There is another gentleman who is just the sweetest, greatest guy. His name is Paul Owens. And he was the dog whisperer 15 years ago. And all of a sudden, this other dude comes along and kind of claims the title. So, yeah, I was never in contention with that. And I will always bow to Paul Owens. He's a great dude.
Paul Owens. What was the first dog you ever had?
Oh, gosh. Snoopy. Did not name Snoopy. Well, wait. Do we mean as a little kid or as a grown-up?
First is first, right? Yeah, we'll do both.
First is first. Okay. First was Snoopy, and he was a German short hair pointer. Oh. And I was just a wee thing, so I don't remember much of Snoopy.
That's pretty impressive because I believe that's the kind of dog I would be if I was a dog.
Really? Why?
Just the energy never stops. They just get that weird grin on their face, and they just keep running. And they're just relentless, like me. They just never stop.
Well, they're also really smart.
Well, I think I'm pretty smart. What kind of dog would you be? Which is impossible because you're delightful and beautiful. As Russell Brand would say, Victoria, you're beautiful. It's impossible to imagine you as a quadruped. But if you were, what kind would you be?
Oh, my God. You know, I've never been asked this question. What if I just say, yeah, right, yeah.
Right. Huh. You've never been asked what kind of dog you've been, but your entire lifeline and income is with dogs. It seems like somebody would have hit that question. Sorry.
I'm going to come up with something. I would say, I'm going to go with one of my dogs. So I have a Brussels Griffon, which no one's ever heard of. Yeah. And I think you're among the no one that's ever heard of them. Everyone thinks she's a skinny black pug, but she is her own breed. Most Brussels Griffons have the shaggy fur. Like, did you ever see the movie As Good As It Gets?
Of course. I actually read for it and didn't get it.
Which part?
The one that went to Greg Kinnear. Like, I never had a shot. When you realize it was going to Greg Kinnear, it's like, well, that was a waste of everybody's time. Greg Kinnear's great.
Aw. Yeah, he was phenomenal in it. But that dog is a Brussels Griffon, and that's really what most people think of when they think of a Brussels. But Millie is a smooth, and she's unique and really smart. I feel like because dogs are so awesome, they have so many great characteristics. To say, like, I'm like this dog is saying, like, I'm super awesome. Like, I'm really smart, too. I'm really cute, too. I don't know. What else is great about her? She's intuitive. She's
intuitive.
Easy to train.
Let's talk about... I can't stop talking like Russell Brand. I'll do Norm MacDonald. Hey, let's talk about your dog's intuition. Seems kind of strange. What do you mean intuitive?
Well, it goes hand in hand with easy to train. Like, she's just... She's on the same page as me. Like, I don't need to do a lot to communicate what I want her to do. Like, I can just nod my head a certain way. She's like, oh, gotcha. You want me to go over to my little spot on this rug? Okay, cool. Or if I want her to go into a down and she's kind of slow, I'll tilt my head at her. She's like, oh, right. Belly on the ground. Okay, I got it.
Wow.
That's intuitive.
That is cool. You know, I had the Rottweiler I had, Shirley. I could look at her, and if I just looked at her a certain way and turned my head, she would start growling and bark. Like, brr.
Yikes.
Let's play true or false, okay?
Ready.
True or false, when your dog stands there with one leg up, it means they're uncertain.
It means they're peeing.
No, front leg, sorry. That is all. The judges will accept that answer. Somebody tell the Russian judge we've already moved along. They thought they were boycotting this anyway. So front leg up, one leg up, it means they're uncertain, true or false?
True.
Pit bulls bite more than other dogs.
False. Big false. Big, 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 big false.
Training your dog with food is the wrong way to train your dog.
Big, big, big false.
Okay. That's three. That's good.
I passed?
Huskies do not bark, true or false?
False.
False. That's it. Yeah, you are the real deal.
Bam!
A bloodhound, most likely the hardest dog to train. What kind of coffee mug is that?
Oh, that's a glass of water. That was rude of me. Sorry.
Oh, no. I just...
Or, you know what? I'm going to be like Caitlin Bristow and be like, no, it's wine. I'm drinking wine.
I'm looking right at you. I just can see what it is. Caitlin Bruce.
Pretend it's... Caitlin Bristow, fellow podcaster. She's phenomenal.
Oh,
off the
Caitlin
vine.
Bruce. No, I know off the vine. Huskies don't bark. They do bark. People think they just go, ooh, all the time. Like they're, you know, a backup singer for James Brown or something. Ooh. But they do indeed bark, correct?
They do.
And I don't remember what the last true or false was, to be honest with you, because...
How about this? Am I having fun? True, I am. This is the best.
If your dog keeps running from you, true or false, run the other way.
True.
Yes. Yeah, you get it, dog whisperer, Victoria. My aunt had these crazy boxers, and they would just never come. And I remember all the kids in the neighborhood just kept chasing these dogs. And I felt bad for the dogs. They're like, leave us. So I just hauled ass in the other direction. They chased me, and they got alongside me. And I just kind of put my arm around them, put a collar and leash on. I'm like, here's your dog. Here's your dog. Here's your dog. Not $1. Nobody tipped me. Nothing.
Damn.
Thanks for getting
my
dog.
But you're intuitive. You are a good dog trainer because you knew that as a little boy you figured. Wait, were you little too?
I was one. I was 1 year old. No, yeah, I was little. I was like 10 or so. Yeah, I was indeed.
Yeah, so that's, you got great instincts for training.
Were Rhodesian Ridgebacks actually bred for killing lions?
I'm so bad on history.
I
see the pictures in my head, the drawings, but I want to say no, false.
Who was Gerald Ford's vice president?
What? This isn't dog related.
Well, there are a couple of dogs, believe me. That's off the top of my head. I believe it was Spiro Agnew, if I'm not mistaken. It's the only time in American history the president and vice president were not elected.
Okay, what are you – I can't see what you're looking at. So please tell me what this quiz is that's throwing presidential trivia and dog
and
trivia.
No, nothing. I'm just coming up with weird things off the top of my head.
I want Seriously?
Chris, get on the mic. What am I looking at? I'm looking at a picture of Rashad Jennings apparently on my phone. Can you get on mic, Chris, and prove that I'm looking at nothing?
I believe
take,
you.
Take
I don't
time,
need proof.
Chris.
I swear.
Not like the...
what am I doing?
am I looking at anything about presidential history or dogs?
No, just his phone.
My phone is on a sports website.
I'm triply impressed then.
Triply? Have you ever been to Tripoli?
I haven't. Have you?
No, but I've been to Doubly twice. Hey, everybody. Hey, hacky jokes.
Don't forget to tip your bartender.
Tip the bartender specifically because the wait staff has to tip him out anyway. Is it ever okay to spank your dog?
Never.
Never? Really?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. I do no physical corrections. That's part of the reason why I'm not a huge, I'm not a huge fan of the dog whisperer. Why I do not like the dog whisperer, because there's lots of physical stuff going on that's not necessary.
He spanks his dogs?
Not spanks, no, but there's collar corrections, you know, the whole choke chain thing.
I heard he puts his dog, if it's a shepherd, he puts it over his knee to spank it. That gets really creepy.
I think there's a website for that, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's actually what I'm looking at. Your first dog's name was Snoopy, and that was a German short-haired pointer, and the dog you have now is a breed that you've made up.
Right.
It's a Brussels chiffon.
Yes, Brussels chiffon.
Well, I got it right?
Really sad. No, you totally didn't. It's smooth Brussels griffon.
Will I be
and
able...
then the other, we haven't talked about my other
smooth.
One.
Smooth. What makes him smooth? Is it like...
The difference in the coat.
Okay. Smooth Brussels
Griffon.
Man.
And she's a rescue, by the way. I need to point out that she is a total rescue dog because even though she's got like fancy pedigree name and no one's heard of her, she's a hand-me-down dog. You know, she belonged to someone that I knew who couldn't keep her. And she's like, hey, what do you think? Do you want this puppy? And cutest dog ever. I mean, you've seen her. She's super, super, super cute.
Victoria Shade, S-C-H-A-D-E. What's your Twitter? Like, how does everybody get a hold of you?
Victoria Shade.
At Victoria Shade. And then S-C-H-A-D-E. And your website is, that's what I was actually looking for on my phone. But I'll let you tell everybody. How's that?
People can find me right here on Podcast One. I'm the host of PetMD's Life with Pets, where we talk about all things cat and dog. If they want to see me in action working with dogs, I have a funny little reel. That is victoriashade.tv. And my dog training page is frolicpup.com. And if you want to see pictures of Millie and Olive, who are super, super cute, my Instagram is at Life on the Leash.
Life on the Leash, frolicpup.com. Do dogs actually smell fear?
I don't think they smell fear, but they definitely are perceptive enough to pick up on our body language when we are acting in a certain way or doing certain things. They're like, gee, something's not right.
Are dogs more likely to bite if they're on a leash?
That's an it depends. And that's the answer to a lot of dog training questions. It depends on the dog. It depends on the scenario. But I think if a dog feels like it doesn't have an escape route, then yeah, it might be more likely.
All right. I love this. I could talk dogs with you for hours.
I'm here.
All right. Let's do this again.
Friday night. Let's party.
Friday night. Oh, what a night. Brr! Let me hear your best dog bark.
Oh, really?
I'll do it.
You first.
You can't leave me hanging, though.
I won't. I promise. I promise. I want to hear it, though.
That was terrible. It's too high.
Sounded like a little dog.
I am a little dog.
Okay. Do you have a preference, big dog, little dog?
Surprise me.
Okay.
Boo! Coonhound.
Yes!
Tree-walking coonhound.
I went hound just for you.
I want to get a hound. Now I'm going to get one named Tony Bennett. I'm Tony Bennett. I don't need a leash. I want to walk on my own. Thank you, my love, very much. Take care. This has been More Stories with Victoria Shade. Put your name on it.
Bam.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Well, I'd like to hear about it, pothead.
Look at the game change.
If you want to battle, it's either that you will or
you won't. Hey, you know, you're not a bad-looking man, Mr. Gals.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
Bullshit. You didn't convince me. Let me see your real war face. Ah!
No, I thought you said that you are right, Spider.
Hey, man!
More stories. Yes. There you go. All right. Christopher Titus. Why am I doing this weird? It's amazing. I'm doing like morning radio voice. Almost.
Almost close.
Hey, Chris. This guy's going to do the weather, and then we'll be back. So you can welcome back, everybody. Chris Titus in studio. Rape King.
Jake, you might be doing a little traffic here. Boy, things are looking pretty crazy on the 405. I'm telling you, the 101, there's a psychopath with a Volkswagen with a gun. Just drive around him. Okay, back to you, Jake.
Okay, thank you, Ginger. Hi, everybody.
We've done way too much radio. I still got a sticker from my stupid thing I did at Dodger Stadium this morning.
What'd you do at Dodger Stadium this morning?
I'm whoring the movie really hard, and they, KTLA, not KTLA, Channel 11, I know the guy, the producer over there, and they had me come down to Dodger Stadium, and, Game 7's tonight, and I just got to kind of jerk around with the guys there, and we made some fun.
Players?
No, just the guys, the morning show guys. Players aren't there. I drove in this morning to go do the thing, we're literally on the field. And the only time I've ever been in Dodger Stadium before was I went and saw Elton John and Eric Clapton years ago.
Hold on a second. What an amazing ticket.
Yeah, right?
I did not think Clapton was the second name coming out of your mouth.
No, like, but you know what's weird is that
it's like your gay buffer, like, oh, I can really enjoy Elton John because I got cocaine coming up.
Exactly. Eric Clapton, like, Eric, you told every dude in there was like, thank God Eric Clapton's going to be here in a minute because I'm not. So it's a hard show to see. It's like having, you know, you and some other crazy headliner on where, like, Elton John went up first and destroyed it. Yeah. And then Clapton, you're like, it's Eric Clapton, yeah. And had it been the other way around, you'd have went, Eric Clapton's amazing. And how do you follow? Neither one of the, I don't think either one could follow the other one. It was interesting.
But they're the only ones that could follow the other one.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So what did Clapton, I'm going to get you right back to KTLA at Dodger Stadium in the movie Special Unit. What did Clapton open with?
What did he open, man?
He's got to come out with something, you know. You yeah, can't follow no. Benny and the Jets, but like, this is off the new album.
Here's a little ditty.
Would you call my name?
I do remember this because I've been doing comedy so long a time. Yeah, it was slow. No, Layla. I think it was Layla. He started
fuck,
with Layla.
Ballsy, man.
Yeah, he started with Layla.
Mid-Scorsese movie. I'm going to sing it. We all know how it goes. All right, so you're at KTLA doing a remote at Dodger Stadium. We're recording this Wednesday. Game 7's tonight. So This is the definition of liminal time and space. Yeah. In case you were wondering what that meant when me and Pete Turner went down that rabbit hole, it's this now. We have no idea what's going to happen. You're listening to this with the information past tense. Dodgers-Astros Game 7. And you're promoting special
You've turned
unit.
Into a weird kind of like almost like a guy who did a lot of psychedelics, Doc Brown from Back to the Future. That was nice. That was a nice little rant.
I hope I'm funnier than Christopher. You know. I mean, that guy. Talk about Jim from Christopher. Whatever.
Lloyd.
Thank you. What do you do at a yellow light? Slow down. Remember that episode of Taxi?
Yeah.
Wow. So the movie, first of all, in full disclosure, you offered me a part in special unit,
yes.
And it was like a couple hours. And what separates this movie from other movies is people are special in the movie. You have special people playing themselves, like not themselves, their own actual maladies or afflictions, and you blend and you mix like
right
other folks in, and it's balls, man. It is ballsy. It's very brave, and I was not brave at all when you asked me to be in it.
Nobody in it. Hollywood was.
I regret very little.
Yeah.
I regret not being a part of your movie. Was the Luke Wilson one that was a dick about with Martin Lawrence? Blue Streak?
Blue Streak.
I was like, I'm not going to fucking do chemistry reading with Martin Lawrence. Fuck, if they like me, they like me. I got to do Caroline's.
Right, right, right. Yeah, exactly. I'm actually making money this week.
$136 million. I'm like, ooh. Maybe I should have just been a fucking movie guy.
I don't know, but here's the thing, that it may probably wouldn't have worked. I believe you can't regret a decision. If you look back too often, man, you just wasted that next future moment of your life. So
something's gaining on you. It's Satchel Paige. Yeah. Don't look over your shoulder. Something's gaining on you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just when you go down, turn and fight after it catches you. That's what you got to do. So this movie, and it's funny because people have really...
Wait, say that again.
Turn and fight after it catches you. Don't look back. Keep
when you go fight. Down.
Yeah, when you go down. When you go down and it catches you, turn and fight. You just wait when it catches you, turn and fight it. But until it catches you, keep fucking running. So here's the thing is that, and that's what it feels like as a comic, man. We're so damaged that I just feel like I've been running since I started, and it's always the next thing. There's always a new mountain. And so this movie became, and it's where people have made it this weird thing. They're like, oh yeah, man. Yeah, man, you're so great. You'd use the disabled in the movie and stuff. And they make it, it's literally like a Seth Rogen comedy. There's dick jokes in it. Like it's ballsy. I'm calling them retards. They're screaming back at me. I didn't want to write a special movie. I didn't want to write a Hallmark movie. I think that's the big problem. So disabled people, all they want is to be like everybody else. But my buddy Michael Aronin, who's a comic, very funny. There's a bit on my YouTube channel called "The Word Retard" that I did.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I flipped the name of the word. Yeah, flipped the whole word because he fucking went off in a restaurant at some waitress who was a total bitch to him, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Basically, she came over and she took everybody's order, then looked at Mike, who's got cerebral palsy, and said, and looks back at me and goes, "What'll he have?" Like he couldn't answer. And Mike, instead of, because I'd have just gotten pissed. Mike was really funny. He started acting 3,000% more disabled than he was and started going, "I like to order your boobies. You're beautiful." And he started going off on this woman and played it for real. And I'm a comic. I let it go because I knew what he was doing. And he knocked shit off the table. He knocked forks off the table. And he destroyed her life for an hour. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. We get outside, and I'm laying on the ground. I'm just laughing so hard. I'm going, "Dude, that's amazing." And he just goes, "That bitch deserved it." He wasn't – it was vengeful comedy. He just was totally revenge comedy. And I really got that people treat them on a daily basis shitty. And Hollywood talks a lot of great shit. "We love the disabled. Let's put them in something. They're great."
Can't even get a show for fucking Asians.
Yeah, yeah, I know, right?
just one Asian show.
Exactly.
It's a well-written Asian show.
Yeah, yeah, and it's – but that it's an Asian show. So what I did was – here's the problem.
And that's MASH.
Yeah.
Yeah. Norm McDonald. Norm just came in.
We had to put it. Yeah,
that, like, I trampled myself to get that out. and that's MASH. Koreans, you know?
Good. Asian, right.
I'm flush with fucking panic right now. Look at my face. I'm like,
why?
Because I had to get it out so I wasn't interrupting you again.
Anytime. So here's what happened. So I decided to I decided to just do something that was balls out, wrote pretty much the harshest script I could write, put them in a situation where they're going to be cops, and Peter Farrelly got involved, which is weird. I got the weirdest. Sometimes if you just commit to do something, that's the thing, man. We all wait for Hollywood to say okay.
Or our dads.
Yeah, or our dads. Yeah, well, that's who Hollywood really is to both of us right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's really our dad.
I'm not kidding. Yeah,
no, and
absolutely.
And my dad still thinks I'm a loser.
I don't know. Yeah,
and I'm talking about Hollywood.
No, he doesn't. That's the thing. I can tell you with certainty, Chris. This episode of More Stories brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, and they are rad power bikes. Consumer direct brand buyers like you and like me, we get a premium electric bike, and these have more wattage than anything you've ever seen, and it's exactly at the wattage, 750 of them. That's street legal. 751, you're getting pulled over. Out. What are you doing on this kooky bike that's dangerous at 751? Four models, the most powerful motorbike an e-bike can have while maintaining street legal status. I have mine. I love it. 20 miles an hour, no pedaling. I get a little lazy sometimes. I love my Rad Power Bike. RadPowerBike.com, and you will as well. I give you my word. You can get $75 off accessories if you use the promo code JAY, J, RadPowerBike.com. Just go to the website and look at the bikes, all right? Because you can go between 20 and 40 miles straight shot without charging it. That's all over Manhattan. That's up and down Manhattan 16 times for crying out loud. RadPowerBike.com. The promo code is my first name, J, J-A-Y, $75 off accessories. I'm telling you, these things are rad. I put my name on it. RadPowerBike.com. Go look at them at least. And if you want to buy one, use the promo code J. You and I are so similar, and we're also similar this way. You said something really important to me. There's always another mountain. You said there's always a new mountain. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But that's the joy. That's the EKG chart of this life. We get that, whoa, roller coaster, because there is always a new mountain. And if you're going to a goddamn job at Google down the street,
right,
it's like just that flat, like it's a little elevated all the time.
You just said it, but that's the whole thing. It's a heartbeat, man. Peaks and valleys. That's life.
There's a space between beats. That's liminal time and space.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're flatlining, if you're going to the same shit for 30 years, that's a flatline. Flatline is death. I don't want to be a flatline. I want the heartbeat.
That waitress, flatline. She accepted less.
Right.
And the waitress, the reason she said, what will he have? Fear is the number one cause of death on earth. Mm-hmm. And angst and nervousness. And she was afraid to make a human connection, to put herself even across. It wasn't a Grand Canyon. It was like it was a gully. It was a table, literally.
Yeah, it was a table, yeah.
She's like, what would you like to have? And she probably would have went, what would you like to have?
Yeah.
So she deferred to you to make the connection for her. Like, right. If you picture like a line, when you do those lines on your phone, like you just go around and you connect the dots. She went that way instead of making an actual connection. And that enraged your body. Like he was denied access to another human being.
Wow, I've never heard it that way, but that's heartbreaking. Yeah, you're right. And that happened.
Fuck her. She had it coming. Like, I'm fucking right here.
Yeah.
And let's say I am like
that, you just cleared it up. Like, I've been talking about this movie for a while. You just cleared it up better than I've heard. He's denied, and by the way, all disabled people are kind of denied connection to the rest of the world. And here's what I think. I do not think it's people's fault. We have been taught from the time we were kids, hey, don't bother them, don't stare, don't make them feel weird. So now they live in this invisibility. I'd rather have someone go, hey, fuck you, because then I can, we're talking now, good. Then just
that's
look
very
away.
Very much a connection.
Then just, right, but just look away from me. You know, I mean, by the way, everybody who we've had a fight with, at the end, we're connected in a way, and usually friends. So, and that's how the movie got done. I was in San Diego, and there was this chick across at a stoplight, and she had one leg, and she was in a wheelchair, and she had a dress on, and this fucking.
So we're fucking. Leg.
Huh?
So then we're fucking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, wait,
so
what?
So we're back at the hotel.
Yeah, why not? So I always wanted to be with a pirate.
Because they have shitty furniture, I made her another leg. It was great. Made her another leg. We had to prop the table up on some books, but it worked out.
Measure so, twice, fuck once.
Measure twice, fuck
you have to understand something. Your stand-up, it was about 18 months ago at that theater in the Valley, fucking melted my face. Like, your new stuff, about your kids, all that Norman Rockwell stuff, the Norman Rockwell stuff, I went, oh, wow. And I think the discernible skill for an athlete or a comic is you have to know when you're being lapped. And you fucking ran right past me on that leg.
No. That's nice.
This is not subjective.
Right.
You jogged past me that night. And I went, all right, let's go to work.
Oh, good.
And like when I saw Keith Olbermann's show that he used to have, well, which one? On ESPN when I was doing radio, I went, this motherfucker just, I can smell his cologne. He fucking just went past me because right. His monologue was airtight. Like, here's 8 minutes. Bang. I went, oh, I'm completely copying and pasting this entire shit.
Right.
And it was, you inspired me. Like, you know this. I talk about him when he's not around a lot. Like, that hour, and I saw you in Irvine like 2 years ago, and then it was a different hour than the hour I saw in Irvine. I went, holy shit. And you figured out a way. You and I have, and I'm going to say it's not our fault and let you off the hook entirely, anger issues that I think most human beings on earth would, that's why people fucking shoot people in post offices.
Right.
But we know everyone's looking at us, waiting for us to do a dick thing.
Right.
They're like, oh, that guy's a fucking dick. And anybody that known us in the last like 12 years go, what the, no, he's not.
He's just being him.
What? Well, that's not, and him's nice.
Yeah.
He's like talking to you.
Yeah. That's the problem I have a lot. My wife said that to me. She goes, you know that everyone thinks you're crazy, right? And I go, what are you talking about? You were just yelling at that guy. Like, people don't yell like that. I go, I wasn't yelling at him. I was talking to him. I go, something wasn't right, and we fixed it out. And she goes, how? I go, you left him angry. I go, no, I didn't. I go, I'm not angry. And she goes, that's the difference. You got it out. You let it go. And I think that I have this, we operate at a different level, man. And I'm not saying it's a good level. I'm not saying it's a better level. I'm saying
it's good. It's why we get money.
That's true. That's
we valid. We move sliding doors faster than anybody can move sliding doors. Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Like we fucking, we just move them doors around and like opening and closing windows. Like when you're passing lanes, like a quarterback, it's a little abstract. They go, you got to get the pass in there before the window closes.
Yeah.
And that's all we do all day. So, but you know better than anybody because as a what I was going to say quickly was you have somehow twice captured 1 hour of being a dad, the frustration of divorce, and I don't want to get into any of the fucking shit, without being a victim or being like, I'm fucking pissed off, guy.
Yeah.
It's entirely relatable for a dad in Valencia that goes, my kid does this, he fake washes his hands too.
Yeah.
Like my son will go, psh, he fakes, it makes a noise. Like his hands are under where the water goes. And I'm like, I was at the Improv in Melrose, November 11th, by the way. I don't know if this will be out, but then we'll put this. I go, I'm like standing there watching him go, psh. I go, who does that? And then I never said it before. I go, and then I realized I did that.
Yeah.
And that's what got the laugh. I was like, but you did it like for an hour where you just shared the shit that was happening in your home. And then you did another hour where it was like 40 minutes of the 30 minutes of that theater. I went, oh, wow. So.
That's my job.
Right. And that's the new, there's always a new mountain. Mm-hmm. And I got to be at the top of two of them with you. And then I don't have to go down.
No.
And go back to a house where, you know, I'm being maybe gaslit or whatever. But right. You, as somebody that studies human behavior, like you do and like I do, you know damn well if somebody's walking away angry or not. I'm not going to give you the pass when you go, what, he's happy too.
Yeah.
You know goddamn well if they are or not.
Yeah.
So if you know the person's walking away happy or like cool.
Right.
And she, because I went through this for 10 years, and she goes, no, he's, you're being gaslit.
That's interesting. Because I do, you know, here's the point.
Let's fucking drink.
Now, here's what I get. Beers. I get that now, you're right. I know how to, that's what we do on stage is we actually create people's emotions. So I know how far I can go without pissing somebody off. I know how far. So you're right. You're right. He didn't leave angry. And if he did, fuck him. I didn't mean it.
but you do care.
I do. No, you do. I don't want to.
Because when you see that guy again, it's, because I fucking know you, Chris. You and I have an insatiable, irrational need for validation with every single interaction, every moment of the day, whether it's online, whether it's Twitter, whether it's the guy.
I'm working on it right now. It's going well.
Well, you got, I mean, you have it here. You're 10 out of 10. You'll never not be 10. This column's full. Oh, you're 12 ounces of water in a 10 ounce glass with
there
me at
you
all,
go.
At
wow.
all times.
Wow.
This nice. Is Richard Pryor, Wino versus Dracula. Hey, boy, peeking in on people winning. Yeah, nigga, you in the cape.
Man.
Like, that's it. Like fuck Tucker. Tucker sucks. That's yeah. 12 ounces in 1 ounce of glass.
Right.
So the validation that we need, like on stage, on this, on that, every interaction, you're not going to let that guy walk away. Like, fuck him. Who gives a shit? Because you're going to see that guy again, and right. you want to know, even if you dug the ditch for yourself, that you've mended it.
Well, I find it. Well, I found out, I did something called Landmark Forum. I found out that when you, some people have this weird thing, when they do piss somebody off, they get this, they come up with 10 excuses why it's okay. I go find that guy and go, hey, dude, if I pissed you off, there was nothing in my heart. The most powerful thing in the world is an apology, and people don't get that. They think it's weak.
But you see the poll, the 180 of the two statements? If I pissed him off, fuck him. And I got to go track the guy down and go, yeah. if I pissed you off,
well,
man,
yeah, yeah.
That's not
that
me.
Was comedy. Fuck him is comedy.
Oh, okay, good.
The other one's like, that's who I really am. If someone really was mad at me, and this new show, Amerageddon, that I'm working on, this new show, I've got people literally
great
grab,
names
their,
for your shows.
Grab their shit and walk out. I've had them just pick their shit up. I've seen table of four just get up and walk out. And it happens about almost every 2 weeks now. But it's about the election and where we're at.
How many people
right
in the
now.
Room?
400 people.
So 4 times 3, you get 1,200 people over 2 weeks. So you're looking at 12 people out of 4,000. Bye.
That's the right ratio. That's
bye.
That, by the way, that's when you're
bye
writing.
Bye.
Yeah, yeah. You're writing right against the. You're
you know how many people Colin Quinn
bit.
Walked in fucking 20 years to get to get that dog whistle on a Broadway show about the Constitution?
Yeah.
You know, everybody wore wigs. It was a different time, you know? People are like, what is this?
Yeah.
But comics went to go see him.
Yeah.
That no, he goes, my act's been a dog whistle. I was like, yes. And so people are leaving.
But isn't that our job, man? Sometimes a lot of comics don't think that. But I think our job is, especially in a politically correct bullshit society, our job is to bump up against it a little bit, man. You gotta, yeah. If you're not bumping up against it, like if you want to get impressed, just go watch Carlin. Just any special.
Tucker sucks.
Yeah.
The most perfect, pristine, crystalline moment of my life is that sentence coming out of his mouth.
Yeah.
There's 3 words in a 4-word sentence. Because Tucker's twice. Fuck Tucker. Tucker sucks. You have to create Tucker and hate Tucker by the time he gets to the 3rd word and agree to the point of applause and go, right. Yes! Because I just fucking created a human being named Tucker in my head in a nanosecond.
Right.
And I fucking agree with you. Fuck Tucker. Tucker sucks. You actually time traveled my shit into another dimension where another human being that I don't know exists named Tucker,
right.
And I'm applauding, but there is no fucking Tucker.
You know
and
exactly
fuck Todd and guys that look like
yeah.
Todd.
Yeah.
Yes! I was just not thinking that.
Right.
I was just not ever thinking that, but yeah, exactly.
But you're right. He could create it with a couple of words. That's brilliant, yeah. By the way, I'll tell you a story about Pryor. You wrote that specific album.
But Wino versus Dutch.
Yeah, when I was
12
credits. Years old...
Hey,
we had, on the way home from school, we had a library, and I would stop, and they had records, and I would check out records, and they let me check out Toledo Window Box, and that album, and I'm home, and I'm in my bedroom listening to
Bicentennial
Nigger, Toledo, huh?
Is it Bicentennial Nigger?
The Nigger's Crazier or Bicentennial. It was.
It's the Nigger's Crazier.
Yeah, I think it's that one because
people bristled at that.
And
just
I'm
then.
Listening, and I'm listening to it, and I'm in my room listening to it because I want to be a comic since I was 5. And my dad...
Wow, really?
Yeah. And my dad bangs into the door and he goes, the hell... And Pryor, screaming motherfucker, whatever. And my dad bangs in and goes, the hell are you listening to? And I go, Richard Pryor. And he goes, who... Like, his voice drop. Who the hell gave you a Richard Pryor album? I go, I checked it out at the library. He goes, you checked it out? I said, yeah, the library just let me check it out. And he took a long beat and he goes... Okay. like there was another adult somewhere had been a filter and let the album through. They obviously checked my ID. I'm 12. Okay, he can listen to Richard Pryor now. And then my dad was fine with it. It was the weirdest response.
Corey, play when he says the N-word. Because in the opening credits of this podcast is, hey, man, right before the music.
Yeah.
Which one peeking it. So this is the actual bit.
Winos deal with it, though, right? Winos never get afraid of nothing but running out of wine. That's the only thing that panic a wino. Wino could deal with Dracula. Right, anyway. Hey, man! Say, nigga, you with the cake. What you doing peeking in them people's window? What
What's your name, boy? Dracula? What kind of name is that for a nigga? Where you from, fool? Transylvania. I know where it is, nigga. You ain't the smartest motherfucker in the world, you know. Even though you is the ugliest. Oh, yeah, you ugly motherfucker. Why don't you get your teeth fixed, nigga? That shit hanging all out your mouth. Why don't you go get you an orthodontist? That's a dentist, you know, huh?
I was going to put that in the opening credits, but we'll just leave it. And so I was going to put that full, like, yeah, nigga, you in the cape.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's fucking mind-bending because it happens. I love comedy. Real quickly, let me tell you guys this about True Car. I will remember my place, and Special Unit is something you guys should go see. Stream it, stream it, stream it, stream it, stream it, stream it, and make it a big thing.
If you don't laugh, I will give you your money back.
Why? It's free.
No, it's actually only on iTunes on my website right now.
I got the hookup.
It's a real movie.
No, I know. iTunes, Special Unit, Warriors, mount up. This guy needs to be rewarded because this is real. Real is real, man.
Yeah. Yo, hey, you, bro.
True Car. It's Big Mama and her son. Is that a chance? Well, we'll get into those two. True Car, my friends. Certified True Car dealers will help you find the vehicle you want. Pre-owned is what I got, and it's amazing. You get 64 miles on like a Range Rover. You get like 11 grand. Just out, gone. The sticker off when you leave the lot, plus the just 60. Just so many drives, I think, around the block. You're set up shop. Over 300,000 pre-owned vehicles waiting for you. And what you do is you know what you want to pay. You know what the kind of vehicle you want. And they will notify you when they find it for you. These are certified dealers, True Car certified dealers. True Car users like myself save on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Save time, save money. I put my name on it. This is. It's True Car. I love comedy that happens off camera. So,
hey, man. What you doing peeking it? Because he goes, a wino don't worry about nothing but running out of wine. Right. Wino fuck with Dracula. Yeah. Hey, man, what you doing peeking those people's window? And then he goes, yeah, nigga, you in the cape.
So that means the fuck Dracula
has
to leave the window, look at the wino and go, me?
Dracula, what's your name? Dracula.
He goes, me? Like, it doesn't. It's not said.
Yeah, right.
Like,
right.
What you doing peeking those people's window? Like, me? Like, yeah, nigga, you in the cape.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's not said.
Right.
And like Eddie Murphy, like, the dog don't know his name, Eddie. Watch this, Coco. Where the fuck is he going? The dog has to look at the dad and be obstinate and go another direction.
Right.
And I said that to Eddie, and he goes, what do you mean? I was like, oh, no fucking way is this happening.
Yeah.
I go, because if the dog does not know his name, there's no joke. He goes, no, that is. I go, no, because Coco. If the dog doesn't know his name is Coco, he doesn't do anything.
Right.
If the dog knows his name is Coco, he stops eating, looks at your father like, fuck this guy, and goes in another direction, and then your father goes, where the fuck is he going? And he goes, oh, I never thought of it that way. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But that's okay. We still got it.
Yeah, he still got it.
He still did it.
But it's instinctual. So
it's the off-camera
stuff.
You're
like the PhD. Yeah, but you know that.
Yes, I am.
I just, you of comedy.
Finally.
You know what I just got? I just got that prior bit, that prior bit where he's talking to Dracula is basically the same thing that Bob Newhart did in so many bits.
Yes. All the shit they're saying to Abe Lincoln.
He just took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, the other side of the phone call.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers' first gold record, The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart.
It was
ever. Warner Brothers.
And it was like the number, it was like one of the Grammy.
There's no laughs.
Yeah, no.
He's eating it at a Playboy club. It's like, I'm just going to, and he just went and recorded it. Like, did you work it out? Like, no. Abe, how you doing, babe?
He was still an accountant at the time, right? He was still working as an accountant.
Abe Lincoln, if he had a publicist. Hey, Abe, how you doing, babe?
Yeah,
no. Four score, we think maybe you should just say 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Abe. As we wrote it. Don't say 20. Four score and seven. No, you what? You're wearing a cardigan. No, put the stovepipe hat back on and the jacket. We just think, no, Abe, listen. We just think that it's better that way. And he just keeps, and it's this, the great thing about that bit is the publicist is getting irritated with Abe Lincoln, but he still knows that he's the president. He's still got to fuck with him.
Okay.
He's still got to massage him a little bit.
Okay, babe.
Yeah. It's a great bit. But I just got that. That's exactly what, that was what Pryor was doing, except in his world.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's all like Mudbone only does what Mudbone says.
Mudbone, man. That's another
what
thing.
What you do is you go up the hill, put some sunshine on your face.
Yeah, yeah.
The other person doesn't say anything. It's a monologue, really.
Yeah,
that's not off camera. That's
when I was born. There was no year. It was hard times. That was what we called it. The year was hard times.
Touch a girl here on the inside of the knee a little bit. Ooh, like I never forgot that shit in my life. And he's right.
Yeah,
that's the spot. Right. A little tiny bit.
Yeah,
just that. I study comedy. Like,
do we have that now, though? Do we have? Like, do we have guys like that now? Because, like, there was years ago I wrote
you
a
and me.
Wow.
No.
All right.
Straight up. You fucking you pushed me into where you're, whatever you admire, you pushed me. Like, roller derby, when that one person holds another person, they slingshot them forward.
Like, yeah.
That's what you did for
me.
Oh,
that's the nicest thing anybody's ever said.
Well, I never had that analogy that specific before.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what happened. And we were mentioning, I mentioned a comic on the way in. I will not shit talk comics on this podcast. I'm like, I'd rather watch that than fucking this asshole. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not helping anybody.
Loud isn't funny. Just loud.
Loud and like just fucking too smart for the room and all that. Like you have to, MC means move the crowd. Like Rakim, old R&B, old hip hop MC, move the crowd.
Yeah,
like, can you move this crowd? Whether it's physically, like a black audience going ah, jumping out of their chair,
yeah.
Or can you move them? Like you move me.
Oh,
I said
nice
to Chris
one.
When I saw him at the Irvine Improv, when I saw him at the theater, it's like in roller derby when they grab somebody and they slingshot him forward. Like whatever you admire now is. You slingshotted me. Oh, I mean, a lot of people
you know,
do that. None of us got to where we. You were just go. Yeah,
Lily
exactly.
Tomlin did it. Lily Tomlin. I went and saw Lily Tomlin. I was a new comic and a manager at the time who was his housewife, who was a manager and had a couple other comics in San Francisco. Said, "I want you to go see this Lily Tomlin show," and I couldn't get anybody to go. She was working on Signs of Intelligent Life, and I couldn't get anybody to go. So as a comic, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going to go watch a master. And I sat down and watched her. And there was one point she was doing four characters at one time talking to each other.
My
and
space chums.
But I was lost. But I was in the middle. I was like, oh, this is, and I was, it was in all four characters. And I was, then I went, oh, fuck, she's doing four characters at once. And they were in a conversation together that I was into, and I didn't know she was doing four characters. I wasn't like, oh, this is very erudite. She's actually talking with four different characters. I was like, oh, fuck. And then the other character in the homeless care would talk to the rich lady, and then I woke up in the middle of it like, how the fuck? And I realized I should be a welder.
I have tears in my eyes. Then I woke up.
and that's when I
you
realized.
You said that.
Yeah, but that's when comedy can change, man. That's when comedy.
Then I woke up. You just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. She took you.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
We're done here.
Jay's doing a very big motions with his body,
like
what
we're
the
done
fuck?
Here. I woke up.
Yeah.
She put you to fucking sleep, man.
Yeah.
Off the dribble, she dunked in your fucking face, chock full of nuts.
Yeah, she totally
did.
Oh
wow.
Yeah.
Space chums. Then my space chum is the homeless person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly. Like, and then when they put it on TV, you're like, wow, you can't capture it.
No, I was disappointed.
Your
stand-up
translates impossibly to like that 30% meter. Because stand-up doesn't translate like on YouTube clips unless you're doing a fucking nail salon bit.
Right. Yeah, okay.
You know? Yeah. Like, hey, pick a color. Like, you know how they talk. Like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Move me a little. Yeah. Okay, cool. But your stand-up, like the fucking getting attacked by dog incident. I'm watching that fucking thing on. Tell the story for people listening that haven't heard.
Oh man!
If you don't go see Christopher Titus when he's in your town, you're a fucking fool. And if you're one of those people that walk, I guarantee you he will hand you cash after the fucking show. Go, here's your money, bye.
So we did a thing, Comedy Central wanted me to do this thing for the troops, to this thing down in Miramar. And then they go, so I had to go do film stuff with the troops. And we go do some parachuting thing. We do this all kinds of crap. And they go, hey, do you want to go play with the attack dogs? And I'm a comic and I'm in a whore. So like that sentence didn't translate to attack dogs. I was like, sure, let's go play with the attack dogs.
Heard play.
And we play. Yeah, that's what he said. So we go over.
I have a new app.
Yeah.
I can play.
Yeah. And I'm because we're whores. And there's a camera there. And I'm like, okay. So I go over to this guy. And this badass dog. And this huge dude looked like a human V. He was an X-Men. And he's got the dog. And he's like, the dog's name is Taco. And to be funny on camera, I start calling the dog Taco. Well, this dog is one of those German Shepherds that's smarter than you and I. So it knows I'm fucking with his name. It just can't say, it can't speak English yet. And it's looking at me like, and I'm going, how's it going, Taco? And I'm doing like Taco Bell jokes on this poor fucking dog on camera. And the dog hates my guts. And so they go, you want to do an attack simulation? And again, sure. So they put this thing on my arm. It's got metal under it. It's wrapped in leather. And there's another leather sleeve on top of it. And the dog, and they go.
Metal. They're going to let a dog.
There's metal.
Hard as it can. It's bite metal.
Well, no, there's metal. There's a pad, then metal on top of it, then leather on top of that.
Okay? I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
By
okay.
The way.
So
that's how badass the dog
yeah,
is.
They have metal on my arm.
They're okay with this dog making a full run and attacking metal with its teeth.
Oh, this wasn't even that.
He's okay.
This was just the easy part. This dog's gonna be. One arm, and they go okay, and Taco goes, "Hurr!" and I'm like, and I feel the metal crush around my arm like a beer can. I'm like, okay, all right, okay, thank got it, and my arm's going. Hurr! And he's like. And I feel the joint loosening up a little bit, you know, and I'm like, okay. And I said, good. Are we done here? And they go, no. And then the dog's trainer, who's been getting angry because I keep making fun of the dog. This is his buddy. This is like in battle. This dog saves this guy's life, and I'm talking shit to the dog the whole time.
Yeah, I think what I lost here luggage wise
right.
was military. So that means the dog is actually a rank higher than its handler.
Yeah.
So that's his commanding officer.
Right.
So if you're a second lieutenant, the dog has to be a first lieutenant to ensure that you always go get the dog out.
Right. Exactly.
So you get to watch your the dog superior has lick more his
benefits.
Balls.
Yeah, the dog has more benefits than this guy.
My CO is licking his cock again.
It's going to be 10 minutes.
How you going, Alte?
We can't do the meeting. So here's because he's got to finish licking his
10
balls.
10 minutes. Is
so,
he good at it?
So here's the thing. So they go, a full running attack simulation. And again, I hear what they're saying.
You're insulting his commanding officer to his face. It's like Hirohito on the fucking Missouri in front of Truman.
And they're both being professional military, so they're not doing anything. But the handler, before we leave, he goes, hey, you want to do a full out running attack simulation? Not realizing I'm getting set up for a fucking nightmare. So they
I'm
put this suit on
like
me. Now,
a colonel. that guy's like probably a captain. And like that's like... Here's my colonel. And you're like, okay, colonel.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Over and over, it's like, you have to fucking stop this shit.
Yeah, and
that guy
could tell
runs everything.
You could tell they teamed up. Because then they go, so they put these leather pants on me and I got this big suit on.
How's everybody doing out there tonight?
Yeah. No. Big padded leather dog attack me pants. And this big leather fucking thing on. And they don't give me anything for my head. Because obviously I'm making fun of an attack dog. I obviously don't need to protect anything in my skull.
What a great
Here's
line.
What they say.
Wow.
They go,
bastard.
I want you to take off running full speed towards that corner of that there's a fenced off yard full speed and then by the way look back over your shoulder while you're running though because if the dog you want to keep your eyes in the dog's eyes because if you don't he may go for your throat. May, it's not definite. He's professional. So they go, and the cameras, and again,
he's the CO.
Because the cameras are running, we're whores. We're at the end of the day, we're just going to do it. So I start running as fast as I can. I'm looking on my shoulder, and the dog won't run. He's kind of doing this weird pacing. The dog's like, knows he's about to let go, and I'm running a long way. I'm like, why aren't they letting the dog attack me? And all of a sudden, the guy goes, go. He just snaps. And the dog shot out. It was Usain Bolt in dog form. This dog was running at me so hard. And all of a sudden, my fight or flight fear thing comes up. Like, my caveman shit is like, oh, you're dead, fucker. And I'm running as fast as I can.
Turn and fight him.
No. No, not this one. I'm losing.
You gotta override
that. Yeah. So I'm like now, and I'm thinking, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know where I'm going, and I'm still looking at the dog, and I'm thinking he's going to rip my jugular, so I can't look where I'm going. So all of a sudden, the dog.
I don't know where I'm going.
But I'm running full speed. I'm running full speed.
It's fenced in.
And I'm running full speed, and I go, and I put my arm up like they told me to do it, and the dog leaps, and this dog timed it so perfectly.
Lynn Swan.
It was perfect. It was literally Montana at his best, man. And he fucking Jerry Rice. He fucking just fucking chucked. touches my arm, and as he touches my arm, I can't realize, okay, he hasn't gone for my throat. I'm like, yay, no throat. And I turn, and I'm literally an inch and a half from the fence, and I'm running full speed. And I banged, I hit the fence so hard, went bam, and I went down, and the dog continues to attack me. I've been now, so the dog, they're trained the dog to keep the bad guys up against stuff. So now the dog's got my arm, God. And he's starting to drag me through the yard, and the fucking trainer goes, Taco, let him go. Taco, let him go. Taco. It was like, oh, and that's when I got, oh, I wasn't being funny to these guys at all. They didn't think I was being funny at all, and I just got abused by these two military guys. And I had to film a show for Comedy Central in 2 hours, and my head, because I hit the fence full speed, is gouged open. So it was great. So that was my, that was, that's in
one
voice.
Of the best stories.
That's in voice
I've
in my head.
Ever heard in
oh,
my
come
life.
On, man. It's
no, and I
head.
Know you shorten it, obviously. Yeah. And on stage, I'm going to guess it's probably about 12. It could be 12. It could it's be 12
it's about,
minutes.
It's
you
about,
probably
it's
come
about,
in about 8.5.
Yeah, it's about 8.5. Good call. You really are the PhD of comedy, dude. Wow.
Like, because those pauses, Taco, let him go. Like, that's fucking amazing.
Dude, it was horrible.
To realize you're being fucked with. They're trained to put people against stuff and keep them there.
Yeah, the dog is...
And once you hit the wall like fucking Bryce Harper
I was long running too, because I thought I'm... I thought if I don't...
You're built like an NFL wide receiver. Like, you're like... How's all of you?
6'2". And I thought,
yeah,
if
like
I don't...
You're like... You're a grown man. You're not like some nerdy comic.
No,
like,
no,
hey,
no.
Hey, Taco.
Yeah.
Waka waka.
Yeah.
Like, you're a guy like... If you're seething angry, I'm going to walk out of the bowl. I'm walking backwards out of the bowling alley like, you know, they got some shit over there. Like, not you. If I didn't know you. If you're seething angry, I'm going to
next. But here's how fuck. So, yeah, I'm about 190, and this dog was dragging me. Like, once I was on the ground,
wow.
He had my arm, and I'm like, shh. I'm like, holy shit, I'm being moved by that. And that's when everything got scary. That's when I really started thinking, like, I'm in danger at this point. And the guy's me said, Taco, let him go. And the dog wouldn't respond because he wasn't saying Taco. He was saying Taco. The dog was like, oh, he's not talking to me.
Your whole body, even though you're talking, for the listener, like your whole—it's like when George Carlin goes, "Kyle," he like surfs in.
Yeah, he
doesn't really move.
Yeah,
Kyle. Hey, Paul, I'm talking. God, when you say Taco, let him go. Like you're a different person.
Yeah, well,
it's like I see this. Like, I see his stupid sunglasses.
Yeah, and just
hey, Taco, let
as
him
I'm
go.
Getting my ass handed to me by this dog, he's sauntering over. He just
Taco,
slowly
let him go.
Taco, oh, are you okay, Mr. Comedian? Oh yeah, that was. We didn't know that was going to happen.
If he could chew gum, he would.
Yeah, he would.
Taco. Oh wow.
And the video guy, and then the guy, camera guys, they're looking at me like I'm. They're like, oh my, because I stood up and blood just starts pouring on my face. And the camera guys are like, oh my. And the guy drops the camera, and I go, keep filming this. I go, what are you doing? I go, if I'm sacrificing my body, let's at least get the footage for God's sakes.
Also, there's a parenthetical here that I probably am the only person that knows. If we keep filming. I can play this off. If it ends here, the story I'm not in control of. I can
right.
fill in the blank of everybody that watches it. If
right.
we keep filming, I can go, that was great.
Yeah.
You see that fucking dog dragging me around?
I wonder if that footage exists, man. Because Comedy Central, because I should go find it. I should find it.
I'll help you find somebody to hire at an hourly rate to just pepper the shit out of them until they get it.
Yeah, Rick Mill. I think Rick Mill has it. Now, whoever filmed it, I have to figure that out. Because you know what? It would be great to have just to put on something. Go, here's when I was really stupid. Here's one of the dumbest things I've ever done. You
hit the wall with no headgear.
No headgear, fun and full speed. Full speed.
You didn't know where you were going.
Speed.
It's a fenced-in yard.
Because they told me.
It's a square.
Like everything.
Like, I don't know where I'm going. Like, well, it's
a rational. A rational human being would have said no five things before. They say, you want to have the attack dog? You want to play with the attack dogs? No. That's what a normal human says. I got past that one. Hey, do you want to do an attack simulation? No. It's what a fucking normal human being says.
We ain't normal.
And you want to do a full running attack simulation with full gear? No. That's what people say. I was like, yeah. Do you need? I'll do it. Sure, fuck it.
What are the guys like when you go horseback riding on the road or something? It's like, level of expertise? Like novice? Like expert? And they roll out like fucking
Widowmaker.
Charles Oakley's cock on a horse. Like, oh no, that's just his cock. Like, just his cock comes out and wheels, and then the horse has to attach himself to it, and you're on top of it. Your buddy's in the horse has a fucking hat.
It's got a team of roadies that's got a hook to cock to the horse. That's how big. It's a big horse.
Loading in.
Yeah, we only use this for expert people. So you get that?
We're loading in Oakley. Copy that. Yeah. Come to the elephant
and you hear
right
this. What? what? You hear a lot of whirring machinery.
You're like, don't I need headgear?
Yeah. Can I get a helmet, please?
Wow. Wow. Christopher Titus, you're everything that's right with stand-up comedy. And the fact that you made a film, you did it. You fucking did it. Like, this subject matter, it's not like a documentary that had to come out of you.
No, it was something you wanted to do.
And so it's like, I'm going to start from way at the back of the line. And through sheer tyranny of will, I'll meet you guys in show business. And you actually pulled it off. Like, because if this failed, you'd have a simmering fuck this town for the rest of your life.
Oh, if it was just shit, you know, because you tell people and you sit in meetings, you know this, man, you pitch stuff all the time, and they go, who's in it? In fact, Showtime, I'll tell you this, we did the pilot. Bryan Cranston directed the pilot for this that was done in 06 for Comedy Central, and it's really funny. And Cranston at the time wasn't Breaking Bad Cranston. He just finished Malcolm in the Middle. And Comedy Central was like, we can't do this. And I think that's where...
Why did you give me money for a pilot?
Well, but here's the thing. Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Because at the end, they were like, there was someone... I found out someone in Comedy Central had a kid that had autism, and they had a problem with it. And they didn't want the... I've heard this repeatedly. You know, this is really funny, Titus. We don't want the blowback. It's really funny. We don't want the blowback. And that's so great. So that means... And Mel Brooks said something about a month and a half ago. He said, you couldn't make Blazing Saddles now. And I'm a big fan of that. And this is that. This is that. And
that's a perfect summation. This is Blazing Saddles with special people.
Yeah,
you know what?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the sheriff's got Down syndrome.
Do you know, I think, I said, do you need, Blazing Saddles, by the way, I just watched it on a plane recently. That movie, I think, did more for race relations in this country at that time than because at that time because
where the white women at?
Yeah, yeah, but Cleveland Little and Gene Wilder are so funny. That scene when they're in the jail and he's hanging up his bed.
Gene Wilder's got a lot of jail scenes.
He goes, are you drunk? And he goes, are you black? And he goes,
he's got a lot of jail scenes, Gene Wilder, I'm realizing. That's right, yeah. We bad. Silver Streak.
Is it stir crazy?
Yeah. I'm like, holy shit. There's like all
these jails. A lot of funny in jail.
But I can't get the shit right, Rich.
Yeah. But that movie, so the new movie I wrote, there's a movie I wrote called Curly and Moe, which I wrote specifically because I love those movies. I love those Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor movies. So
why didn't you name it Gene and Richard?
Curly and Moe. This guy named Muhammad. It's basically about a very successful black comedy actor who does this. Based on when Cuba Gooding, remember when Cuba Gooding Jr. did the radio?
No.
Do you remember that?
No, zero. No, nothing.
Okay, so he played a disabled guy.
Radio. I thought you meant when he actually did a radio job.
I remember that.
Sorry.
Yeah. Radio, and it was like this real serious, you know.
And they Tropical Thunder, like, you went full tard.
Yeah.
You never go full retard.
Right. And so what happened was that movie, and so that was his project, it's his Oscar project. And you can never, that's what was special. You know, I didn't want to be special with it or funny. I just want to be funny with it. I didn't want to be anything except these actors, fuck that they're disabled. They're really funny. Like, they're balls out funny in this movie. So basically this black guy does this thing called it's called Birmingham Rose, and it's about this racism thing, and he wants to promote it, and he's got this English kind of love you for the agent who's just a cocksucker. And he's like, nobody wants to see it, nobody. Well, then he goes on
Birmingham Rose.
Yeah.
I like lilacs, lilies, rose. It seems a bit on the nose.
No, man, let me tell you what it's about.
I'll tell you what it's about. It's about blowback. I'm not interested.
It's
call him back.
Yo, man, it's a serious movie, man. Look, I've been doing this comedy bullshit too long.
Why is it bullshit? It's an incredible revenue stream for you, for me, for everybody.
Yo, man,
Birmingham Rose.
Look, I did Bitch Please 1, I did Bitch Please 2. I don't want to do Bitch Please 3.
It's on your desk right now.
Holy shit, that's him. It's Simon. His name's Simon. And he flips it. And by the way, every time his client doesn't agree with him, he flips him. Oh, dude, if I got you for Simon. Simon is such a – and he's such a pussy, too. It's so funny.
Give me an example of the flip.
He says – we're talking about cigarettes. He basically – so this guy, Muhammad smokes really bad.
I don't want you smoking.
No, you don't smoke him. And then he goes – and he basically tells him – he tells him, I'm going to smoke what I want. Don't tell me what to do. And he goes, right, smoking's good. You know, he goes, there's a point in the script where he goes, mom's like, he goes, I don't know, man, I can't smoke. And he goes, try the patches. And he goes, ah, fuck the patches. He goes, yeah, you know, shock your balls with the battery. Whatever you do, do what you got to do. He's like, he's always flowing exactly where
he goes. You know what's amazing? When I was in Portland, I was at Logan Lynn's apartment, and, like, Roger Darling. It was this, like, talk show. Like, we actually filmed me, like, with two cameras just for fun one night.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck this is. That's who I know this guy. Like, the voice I was doing isn't right. It's this other voice.
So here's what happened. So he goes on a talk show. There's a senator that has been basically just this whore. And so he goes on as a guest to talk about his movie. The interviewer won't stop talking about Bitch Please, so he gets irritated. Then the senator goes on talking. This Republican senator goes on and starts ripping on, like, all these poor people. So he walks back out on the set and starts talking about stuff he knows about the senator. And so what ends up happening is that, he starts talking. Well, you find out. The movie unwinds, and you find out how he knows. His brother works for the FBI.
Can I read this tonight?
Curly and Moe?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I'd love to. I want to get this one done. Because, I never start a project. Like, what I want to do with this movie, laugh out loud funny first. But with Special Unit, I want to – look, you can't do great work unless you pick what it's about.
You said something very interesting. Laugh out loud funny first.
First. Always first.
That's the job.
Yeah, that's
not irritating people, not bumping up against it a little bit,
yeah.
But it's got laugh out loud funny first.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and as Joe Torre said to David Cohen, then what the fuck am I doing out here?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, and then what you got to do is you got to have a reason. You have to have a reason. So I wanted to actually have people laugh out loud funny first, and at the end, people go, like in a mall, you see a disabled dude. After you see the special, you know, I want you to, instead of looking away like you've been taught your whole life, you go, how's it going, brother? Because that's part of the reason this happened in a mall. Fucking guy in a wheelchair is rolling down. This happened in a mall during Christmas about maybe 6 years ago, and the fucking crowd parts in front of me. I'm like, why? Like, I was watching it, and like, what's going on? And it's this dude, and he was one of those badass dudes in a wheelchair. He had the gloves on. It was literally
Iron Maiden jacket.
Iron Maiden. He had like the fucking cool beard, but he was in a wheelchair. But people were still looking. He was looking at the ground. And as he rolled past me, I said, "How's it going, brother?" And this dude looked up and looked around, like it was. And he goes, "Hey," like nobody talks to him. So if that's all this movie changed, that's fine. That's why I wrote it like that. And the same with Curly Moe. I want to actually cause a little bit of a difference in race relations. Because what ends up happening is this guy goes to the premiere for his movie. On the way, he gets hooked. He goes to the wrong Greenville. Because you know there's Greenville, North Carolina, and Greenville, South Carolina? That makes fucking sense. That's for real. I did that. Yeah. I flew to the wrong one.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You're a housewife manager?
That's how this story... yeah, exactly. That's how this story started. I fly to the wrong Greenville, and literally the baggage claim was a flap. Like they had a tray. Yeah.
I've been to that airport.
And you did, and I was walking there was no fucking jetway. You had to go get off the plane and walk across. The fucking tractor with the things pumped past me, and I was gonna grab my bag, and the guy's no, baggage claim. And then we go back to him, it's a fucking flap. He just fucking throws it through a hole
in
the wall.
Your right.
I'm like, I could have just, okay, whatever. So we go to the thing, and I go
stuff
on.
Stuff like that bugs you.
I know, really does. I go, because we travel all the time. And I go, I want to rent a car. And I find out I'm in the wrong Greenville. I go, where's the comedy club? And the guy goes, ain't no comedy club here. I'm like, oh, shit. I go, are you kidding me? And I look and I go, I'm from California. I don't know there's two Greenvilles 5 hours apart. That makes total fucking sense. Did they run out of names during the Civil War? Is that what happened? So I go.
But they have Lynchburg, Virginia still. Like, yeah, right. They run out of names a little north.
Lynchburg.
Mario Joyner goes, that's right. That's
There's another club in Hangadarkey. I worked at Hangadarkey for a while too.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the South, it's got some weird places.
Fucking amazing. So, like, fucking bunch of mental patients.
So I go to the rental car counter. I go, and I'm in a car, and he goes, we rented it. They had like three cars.
We rented it.
And I'm like, what?
That's a great line.
They had
man.
Like three. There's
nah,
a dude. And to that guy.
I want a guy at LAX that just like, doesn't like the cut of your jib. Like, we rented it.
He was just a dick. Yeah. We had a car. So there's a dude in a suit. And I go up to him. I go, hey, man, I got a gig. I got to get to this show. I got to drive 5 hours. I go, let me give you whatever. I'll double what you just paid for the car, and let me get it back from you. And the guy goes, why? And I go, because I'm in the wrong Greenville. He goes, my secretary did the same thing. He goes, tell you what, that's where I'm going. I'll just go with you. I said, let me pay for half. He goes, no, don't worry about it. Get in the guy's car. It's a preacher. It's this preacher guy who's going to his first parish. And we're driving together, and we're driving 5 hours, and I make the mistake of starting to talk about religion. And I start going, well, explain to me why God exists. No, explain to me. I want to know the evidence. And by the time we got to Greenville, this guy knew I had been possessed by Satan and wanted to kill me. Like, the time we got out of the car, this guy turned the other cheek guy. We pull up to the curb, pulls over, and I go, hey, thanks for the ride. Fucking look straight ahead, and I got out of the car. We had an argument about religion.
So you know what his mistake was? answering.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, how do you fucking, like, prove what to you? Yeah, I can't prove my faith to you. Yeah, that's mine.
That's where I got. Here's what I knew I won.
Well, there's proof of God.
We
son,
argued. Yes.
No, stop.
But we argued, and he goes, he finally said, you just got to have faith. And at that moment, I was like, winning my column. So I wrote this movie that this black
Christians will always lose. I wrote a whole blog about this for my buddy David, who does his podcast.
David Smalley
is an atheist podcast. I'm like, I'm a Christian. Christians will always lose because they show up. It's like two people jousting with these big flags.
Right.
There is a divine spark. You're fucking stupid, and I know everything, and I'm certain. Like, yeah. I think I'm certain, but I got to be certain. Otherwise, no, I got nothing to hold on to.
I go to Bel Air Presbyterian with my wife and I.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like these two people joust, and you're being asked to prove an absence. Like, what's right. the expression?
But the whole point.
Like, if you're trying to prove something that's faith, like, you can't if it was reversed and Christians were going, atheists are insane,
yeah,
and atheists have to prove there's no such thing as a divine, they would all lose all the time.
Yeah, my wife said that to me one day. I had a real big problem with God for a long time, and then one day my wife and I were out on the lake, and she goes, and the sky was hey puppies,
Teresa's coming by.
The sun was setting, and the sky was like these oranges and pinks, and it was like the most beautiful thing, and she just looks at me, she goes, tell me there's no God. And I had this weird presence of it. I had this weird feeling of like, oh, right. She goes, by the way, you have three beautiful little dogs. She goes, if there was no God, there would just be dog. And she goes, how come they all have different... she has enough basis where I'm
who
like...
Who was that?
My wife. She said, there would just be one dog, it would be dog. And there would be a bunch of them, they all be the same. If it would just be...
Look, I'm out in the ocean on a paddleboard. I'm not going to get into the whole religious thing.
No, it's not too religious.
No.
It doesn't matter what you think. What matters is that in
we agree, by the
in
way.
My life.
Going in, I can tell you we agree.
Yeah, in my life, if I wake up in the morning and know there's nothing here, the universe is empty, and nothing means anything, fuck that. I don't even care if it's a fairy tale. I choose to get up in the morning and know that I'm up here because there's a supreme being and I want to make a difference on the planet, and that's why I'm here. And by the way, one makes me want to fucking stab myself in the eye, and the other one makes me want to do something good for the world.
Yeah.
So there you go. So whether you think it's real or not, or whether it is, doesn't matter. What matters is what I think.
Joe Torre told me, to circle back quickly, and we'll bounce on this. He went to take David Cohen up the mountain in the World Series, and you always wonder what they're saying out there.
Right.
And as he's walking out, you hear the organ music and stuff in the crowd, and as he gets to the mountain, David Cohen goes, I feel good. And Joe Torre goes, I look at him, I go, then what the fuck am I doing out here? Like, that's the most insane shit, like on the scoreboard right behind you.
Right.
I sent the catcher out twice an hour ago, and the pitching coach came out. Then they hit the shit out of it. You bounce two balls.
Right.
So if I get up, as you said, and it's just bleak, the universe has no point, no meaning, it's all, then what the fuck
what
am I
doing
out
here? Exactly.
Then how the fuck am I doing out here?
Right, right. Why would I do
then
special? Why would
how just, right. the fuck am I doing out here?
Yeah, there you go.
This is incredible that you got this film made. I know how hard it is. The fact that you wrote it, the fact that you stayed true to your compass, you didn't waver. When sitting, sit. When standing, stand. Above all, never wobble.
Right.
Your turntables don't wobble, bro.
No. And much to my chagrin.
I got you.
And some thanks, man. There's some bridges that have been burned because of that will never be repaired, but
fuck
they were bridges
guys.
I didn't want to go back over
fuck
anyway.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah, I didn't want to go back on those bridges.
Not the angry one-on-one guy. Those bridges, you can't go back anyway. Fuck them.
Right. Billy Gardell is funny. Billy Gardell plays
like
a character 4 seconds from aneurysm the entire time.
That's hard to do.
I'm telling you, he plays a police captain, and it is – there was times, if you watch it closely, you'll see me start to laugh because he's so over the fucking top. I wrote a couple speeches for him that he took to a level that I was just like, holy God, dude. I didn't even see that.
He's better than advertised in everything he does.
Yeah,
and the clips I saw with him, I'm like,
oh,
my God, I can't wait to watch this.
Yeah.
No, and you look good as a cop, buddy.
Yeah.
You should write more cop stuff for yourself.
He's such a scumbag. I did it with Nick Nolte with 40% more scumbag. That's what I tried to 48 hours.
Why would you say that, Christopher? I'm doing the best I can, Stavros. I take the goddamn hill. I've been here for 22 years.
Yeah, but do 48 hours, Nick Nolte.
I don't even know the words
we
to that goddamn
brother,
movie.
We ain't brothers and we ain't partners and we ain't friends.
You'd be sorry you haven't met me. Christopher Titus.
Sorry.
Titus Nation. I should have said that earlier. But what are you going to do? My friends, love you, buddy.
Thanks, man. Thanks
I
for having me.
I put my name
on
this, and that's you. I got it. And you guys, this is what it is. The tip of the spear, be impeccable with your work. You're impeccable.
Impeccability. Oh, come on.
Everybody look up impeccability.
Oh, thanks, man.
That's your homework assignment.
And let me be impeccable, Hort. Go to iTunes and get the movie. And read the reviews first. By the way, don't take my word for it. Read the reviews first, and then go to ChristopherTitus.com.
Christopher, don't rush
I love
rush
that.
That.
Like it started donging exactly when it was over. I've never seen a podcast I'll time a end poetry with read. Big Ben. That was nice.
Right. I timed it well for you. My man. Christopher Titus, put your name on it, friends. Hook it up. Hashtag more stories.
Did you hear about the midnight rambler? Everybody got to go. Did you hear about the midnight rambler? You want to shirt to keep you know. Don't give you a hoot, I don't want it. Wrapped up in a black and cloak. Don't go in the light of the morning. It's winter time to cock a crow. Talking about the midnight gambler, the one you never seen before. Talking about the midnight gambler.